This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to the To Hull and Back podcast, sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Fish and Chips in Hull. I'm doing the intro because we've had an intro issue this year, but Nathaniel will be hosting, and also we're joined by Joe as well. So I'll hand over to you, Nathaniel.
That was excellent. That was excellent. Yeah. I muted myself early then. I was scared you were going to make me do it instead. So it was nice not having to worry about that. We've had issues, but last week was the best intro I've done, but you kindly offered today. So I'll just let you take the reins. But yeah, as you can see from the title, transfer special, there are just a few days before Wednesday's deadline day. Closes shut at what, 11 or 12 or 1? I don't really know what the official time is, but you get those deal sheets in as well for the last hour. So should be another exciting one. I think we signed 4 players last deadline day, could be another 4 this time. So but let's just give a recap of our thoughts on the transfer window so far. I think it's Sharp, Carvalho, Pandur in, Smith out on loan, Vinagre's gone back to Hellas Verona, and then I'm probably forgetting some others. Ryan Woods, Twine's gone. Ryan Woods has come back, although he's not. He'll be going out.
It's the total one, as per the tweet that I put out before. Incoming, yes. Confirmed was Billy Sharp, Cavalier, Panda. Outgoing confirmed is obviously Scott Twine recalled, Vinagre recalled, Smith on loan to Cheltenham, Harry Sander on loan to Southend, Harry Wood on loan to Grimsby, and Alfie Taylor out on loan to St. Pat's.
Yeah. So pretty busy. I'm sure they're going to be even busier. But I'm pretty sure we announced Billy Sharp on January the 1st, so we'll just start there. 4 games so far, no goals, not playing the role we expected him to. He's playing up front, but we didn't expect him to start any games by this point, but he's had to start 2-1 in the cup. And then, well, he didn't start against Norwich, but he basically played the whole match. So top championship goal scorer of all time. He's not really shown that so far, but thoughts on that to begin with.
We've got to remember he's approaching 40 and he's not going to be able to chase balls down and press like Delap and Connolly might be able to do for the full 75 minutes he was on the pitch against Norwich, and then 3 days later do it for another hour against Birmingham in the FA Cup. He's here to do the role he played against Sunderland and against Birmingham on debut, come in late in the game and try and put some passes together and get in the right area for the ball to fall to his feet and smash it in, hopefully, with any luck. So until he gets to do that role that we've obviously brought him in to do, we won't really be able to judge what sort of how good or bad a signing he'll be for me.
I don't know what we really expected from him because, like you say, he's 37 years old. He scored two goals in the whole season that he had at Sheffield United the last time he was in this league. He was in decent form, obviously, in the MLS, but how quality-wise you compare that to the Championship, you know, is up to your discretion. But for me, like, he was obviously brought in as more of an off-the-field influence for some of the younger players we've got in the squad. And like Joe said, he'll play bit parts off the bench and hopefully grab a couple of goals for me. But we definitely didn't bring him here to start. I think he would probably say in interviews he was coming here to try and start games if he could, but, you know, players will. But realistically, I mean, especially from what we've seen from him, he's not a hold the ball up kind of player, you know. So when we're trying to put the ball into his feet, you know, we're not getting the best from him. So what we need is to be able to get real quality in the box, which I think has been a big issue of ours this season, is that final ball, that delivery has been poor. But if you can just stick him in the box in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game and just get a decent cross into him, you know, he's probably going to score quite a few for us. But at the minute, obviously, with the injuries and everything and the players that we haven't yet brought in, we've been struggling to get that bit of delivery. So hopefully, you know, like we say, we're bringing in maybe another striker and then just allow Sharp to do what he came here to do and make an impact off the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so far we've not really seen enough of him to know whether it's going to be a good signing or not, but he's probably only going to have a few more substitute appearances as well. It may be that he doesn't even play that much his entire time, and I don't feel like we'd give him a contract next season. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, it's a bit harsh on him to expect him to play the same way Delap or Connolly would with them both injured, which is why we're going to be talking about the new striker we're getting in later. And then Ivor Panda, I think, I'm not sure whether he was officially announced last week. Maybe he was, but
Panda was announced, yeah.
So it would have been our last podcast. We talked a little bit about that, whether he's going to start over Allsop, but I think getting a young goalkeeper for the future is a very good idea, especially with the form of Allsop and Ingram dropping ever so slightly in the last few months. So, I mean, if anyone has anything to add that they've thought about Panda, I mean, Ant, you weren't on last week's episode, so what are your thoughts on him?
No, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've watched loads of him and that I know loads about him. I don't. But from what, you know, the Fortuna Sittard fans were saying, that, you know, he's one of the best goalkeepers they've had in a long time. And which is interesting because he's so young. And usually goalkeepers don't really hit their prime and until, you know, late 20s, 30s. So for him to be so young and obviously making such an impact at the previous club only means good for us. One thing that I did note, there's the Fortuna Sittard fan says he wasn't brilliant with the ball at his feet yet. So that was quite a... I was like, oh, right, interesting, because I felt like Rosinha maybe would have been looking at goalkeepers that were decent with the ball at his feet, because that seems to be the mantra at the minute. But, you know, like you say, he's young and he's probably thinking, you know, he'll learn that as he goes along. And it's decent competition again for Allsop. Obviously, I can imagine us moving Ingram on. But no, exciting signing. It's the kind of goalkeeper, I think, that obviously he's got the future in mind. Obviously not convinced by the two we've had this season so far, so he needed to delve in and get another.
Yeah, and yeah. Nice to have a permanent player for the next few years, hopefully. Ingram, well, we'll just talk about him now. It's reported he will be leaving on loan, or maybe even a permanent deal. I mean, this is the third goalkeeper that will... Was it even the fourth goalkeeper? He's going to be dropped for Allsop, Darlow, Baxter, Panda. I think, yeah, he deserves to go and play somewhere. He's a good goalkeeper. I don't know whether he's going to be going to a lower Championship club, but probably League One. But generally, I think he'll be looked at pretty positively as a solid goalkeeper. He's done his best trying to play out from the back, but, you know, pivotal. Did he play every single game of the League One title winning season? Think we'll look back on him with, you know, positive thoughts, won't we?
Yeah. Good servant to the club. Was our starting goalkeeper for most of that League One season. And when we stepped back up to the Championship, he was very, very solid. So I mean, when he got dropped for Baxter, he didn't necessarily do anything wrong. It's just that when Baxter was brought in, we won that Barnsley game, and after that, you can't really drop him, can you? So, yeah, good servant.
Yeah, it's been unfair on Ingram, because I think, as we've said plenty of times, and I think City fans know, he's a decent goalkeeper. He's just a victim of the system. Like, Rosinha wants to play the style where we're going to be, you know, a bit. We want to take risks by playing out from the back, and realistically, you need a goalkeeper that can do that. And Ingram, as we've seen, you know, that's probably his only weakness as a goalkeeper at the minute, is that his distribution just isn't brilliant. And we saw, I think, in the games where he played, you know, like where teams, you know, limited his options short, hitting it long is just not very accurate either. So it's clear what Rosinha is wanting us to do, and he just unfortunately doesn't fit into that. But like you say, I hopefully he gets a permanent move somewhere, and he can just be number one week in, week out, because he is a good, solid keeper. And I think anyone in the Championship, you know, it would be a good signing for them, because I can't imagine it'll cost a lot of money either. So I can imagine a side maybe with a bit of goalkeeping problems where take a gamble on him and get him in as a solid, reliable backup to whoever, and eventually a number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough. And finally, probably, well, definitely the most exciting signing that we've made so far, and maybe will prove to be the best signing we'll have made in January. Fabio Carvalho scored the winner last week, and we sung his praises then. But again, that's a massive sign of ambition. Who knows whether Jurgen Klopp leaving Liverpool at the end of the season will actually have any impact on whether we could get Morton or Carvalho. I don't think it would, because I don't think we could afford them if we didn't get promoted anyway. Yeah, nice to get one over Leeds. So of the three, he's the best signing so far, isn't he?
Definitely. Most exciting, yeah. Definitely.
And, of course, attacking players are always going to be more exciting, I'd say, from goalkeepers or old players who are probably playing on the bench.
Is a game winner. Is the kind of signing that he's up there for me in, like, the Philogene standard, where he's just going to, especially when he hits full fitness, I think he'll be a really exciting player to watch. I'm excited to see how he links up with Jadon and any of the other signings that might come in. But the thing is with him is he could win as a game like he showed at Sunderland, literally with just one moment of magic. And you need players across the pitch that can win you the game in a moment instead of having just one that you rely on. So it kind of takes the burden off Jadon as well when he comes back in, and I think helps us be a more balanced team. I think he's going to be more of a match winner than Scott Twine was, I think, which is why probably we weren't actually that bothered that Twine got recalled and to replace him with Carvalho, because he's, you know, a vastly superior player. He was really good for Fulham in that promotion season. So if we can try and get him to recapture that form, you know, we've got a top six team in waiting, really. But it's whether or not we can keep him fit and get him up to you know, the standard of fitness levels that Rosinha demands of this team, you know, with the pressing for 90 minutes and whatnot. So let's see how he links up with everybody. And I think it's going to be a really exciting end to the season, especially when this window shuts and we know what team we've got. So let's enjoy these players like Fabio and Jadon, because you don't know how long you're going to have them for.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way that we could get promoted and have an amazing squad full of all these players on loan, or we could never see them again. We'll probably get other players on loan next season if we don't go up. But yeah, it's a difficult one to know.
I was saying last night on that note, and about, because the FFP conversation came up, and like, Adjan hasn't shut up about FFP and parachute payments or what have you since he's come in. And, you know, Tan and whatever manager has been in place, they've constantly been asked about it. So it's going to be something pressing on the minds of everyone doing deals at the club. But the nature of the Championship probably is we're going to have to lose someone for a decent amount of money, especially when you consider players like Oscar, Ryan Woods, who are, I think we're going to struggle to move on in the summer, to be honest with you, because their wages will just be so high. So we're going to have a bit of a clear out of the so-called deadwood in the summer. But I've gone on a bit of a tangent, and I've lost my point.
He's on about FFP.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, so there we go, I've got it. So you're saying we might not see Jadon and Carvalho for much longer. If we are borderline with FFP and we do need to sell to bring players in, we've got Greaves and Philogene, who, as much as we won't want to sell them, we know that we've got two players there who can make us a very, very tidy profit. I think we'll make at least 10 million profit on Philogene. We've got him for, what, 5 million quid? We can easily get minimum 15 million because that's the buyback Aston Villa have got. And I don't see us selling him to anyone else for any less than that. And then Greaves, I reckon, is a solid at least 10 million pound player as well. So if we need to, the point I'm trying to make now I've got there is if to balance the books, we need to move players on and sell to buy, we've got two players there who can immediately bring us sort of a bit more into the green.
Mm-hmm. I personally don't think that. I mean, that I think the two possibilities are is one, FFP wise, they've realised we had a bit more wiggle room than they first thought, which is why they've decided to go for it. Because I can't personally see, because they seem like smart guys, Adjin and Tan. I think they've been advised in the right ways about FFP and they know full well where we were. So I don't think they would be signing this amount of players if they knew that we were going to end up in a situation where it's going to come back and bite us on the ass. But I think the other possibility is that they've realised the position we're in midway through January. We've come through our worst period of the season form-wise and we're still within touching distance of the top six. Has Adjin gone to Rosinha and said, do you want to go for it this season? Instead of like, because I can imagine that the talk was over the next 3 years, let's see, you know, let's stay up, finish mid-table, then go for top six. And we're kind of ahead of schedule. And I think they might have had a meeting in December and gone, look, I'm willing to back here. Do you think you can get top six this season? And they might have, when Rosinha's gone, yeah, absolutely. I think the squad with a few more additions.
He's not going to say no.
Exactly, that's what I mean. So either we've got more money than perhaps we thought we did in terms of FFP, or Adjin's gone to Rosie, do you want me to back here this window and let's go for it this season? And Rosini's gone, yeah, let's go for it. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And it's worth noting as well, I know we'll touch on it a bit more later, but the Giles transfer, I think we will use the buy option in that because I think he just will be so good for us and it'll be worth doing, especially if Luton come down and weaken a championship rival. That's going to count towards next season. So that leaves us a little bit lighter on this front.
We have all the biscuit money. That will count a lot. Sponsorship, we are top, well, probably, I feel like probably top four, top five, top six in terms of sponsorship in the championship with the McFitties money, which is, you know, bankrolled by one of Adjin's close friends or affiliates, affiliates.
All the local businesses we've got on board as well. There was a big push of them at the start of the season. That'll all add up.
Mm-hmm. And, loans, we're going to be spending a bit of money. There's loan fees as well, but we're not going to be paying all the wages, and other clubs have spent a lot and, you know, not been done for FFP. Obviously it doesn't exactly work like this, but we've lost Twine, we've lost Vinagre, Aliar, the Kilo, Sinic, Ingram, Woods, etc. We will free up a bit of wages there. Plus, we were supposed to spend an extra $2 million in a transfer fee on Keenan Davis in the summer, which we didn't. So you could argue that that was $2 million we didn't spend. So I don't know how these things work. It probably isn't as simple as that. But and the options I think are good because I feel like the chances of Philogene being here next season are relatively slim, like 25-30% staying. That's what I'd say. And we're going to get 50 million bare minimum for him if he has the same form he did before his injury, you know, when he's back fit next week. So, 10 million on Greaves, 7 million, 8 million on Jones, 3, 4 on Slater. You know, there are lots of players we could get. So financially, I think you're fine. And I mean, I don't know if anyone can remember, but is it 6 million loss per year you can have on FFP? Is that it?
From what I can remember from the Kieran Maguire episode that you were on with him, I think the thing is, realistically, we don't know what finances are, what the issue is with the team at the minute. We don't know how far in profit we are, how far in loss we are. We don't know how much all the sponsorship money that we've got coming in. We don't know about the revenue coming in for match days and for merchandise. So realistically, we might actually be in a better position than we expected to be. Maybe at the beginning of the season, they didn't think we would actually have so much money coming into the club at this point. And in January, they've gone, do you know what? We've actually earned a lot more than we expected to, so we can probably afford to dabble a bit more. That's it's only speculation. Yeah. Realistically, you've got to trust the club. Because the limited information that we've got, you've got to assume that Rosini, Argentan, everybody involved is sensible enough to know what they're doing, yeah. And they're keeping us within the means that we can.
The way Tan Kesler talks, I think it's impossible for them to accidentally break FFP, and if they do, then we will sell players in the summer, and I think it'll be fine. I mean, it is worrying just how many loans there are, but if some of those loans may be permanent anyway. So,
like Ant said, they're not stupid people. Rossini he's been wanting to do this sort of stuff all his life, so he'll be aware of what the rules are. And then Adjan's a businessman. Tan knows football inside out, and there'll be loads of people at the club tasked with looking at everything, like everything finance-wise in minute detail to make sure we don't overspend. And I'll just, because we're coming to the end of this conversation now, aren't we? I'll just say I haven't brought FFP up because I'm a whinger and I'm all that kind of thing, because I've just brought it up because I knew it would come up. And it linked to what Ant was saying about moving players on if we needed to.
But it's a valid concern, especially as a club that's had financial issues in the past. As fans, you have the right to be concerned when you see that. You know, I think I was listening to TalkSport the other day, and this has been the quietest January transfer window they've had in years. Like, I think last year they said they'd spent as a country over 800 million in January, and this January we've not even touched 100 million yet. So I feel like every club's kind of a bit, because of what's happening to Forest, Everton, Man City, people like that, they're starting to actually slam down these charges on clubs and stuff. You can see the state of Reading are in, you know, we see Derby, you've seen Bury go bust. Fans are rightly concerned. I mean, you want to see ambition, but you want to see it done sensibly in the right way. You look at clubs like Brighton and Brentford that have done it the right way, and now they're competing at the highest level. So you want to find that balance. And as a fan, when you see that nobody else is really spending any money, and we seem to be the only club that's going, yeah, we'll have him. And it's just like every day it's a new player. They're a very good player that's probably going to be on a nice whack of wages. You know, we're spending quite a decent sum of money for a championship club. I mean, we're spending 4 million on players, which at this level is a guaranteed top half championship standard player, in my opinion, in today's market.
Well, that's the idea.
Yeah. Well, in theory. But like you say, as supporters, you genuinely do start to think, can we do that? But like I say, we've got to trust that the club know full well where we stand in terms of FFP, and just enjoy the ride, and then let's see what happens in summer. Like we say, we've got contingencies, haven't we, in Greaves and Philogene and players like that. I mean, it's not good in terms of wanting to actually get promoted because you want to keep your best players, but yeah, worst case scenario, you have got players there to bankroll you out of FFP if needs be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the thing is, I don't know whether we're going to be getting... Well, you'd like to think we could maybe sell Cynic and Aliar for a little bit, but compared to when we were spending 3-4 million on players like Stephen Kingsley, Kevin Stewart, John Terrell, Nwadiko...
1 million on James Scott.
1 million on James Scott. That all left for free. I mean, the 5 million, and then we're going to probably get more than that. To Philogene back is more than we... you know, got back on all those players we signed under the Alams. So that will help a lot. So, we've touched on Ryan Giles there, but last week when we didn't know that we were going to be getting him, or hopefully getting him, it's not been announced yet, but I think that's just waiting on an announcement. I saw other clubs were interested in terms of a left back. Defensively, I don't know. He's more of a wing back. But really, in terms of getting a left back in January as a championship club, it's pretty much the best we could hope for. 21 assists in the last two seasons for loan moves at Middlesbrough, Blackburn and Cardiff. Incredible. Hopefully improve the set pieces and allow Coyle not to have to play on the left anymore. So Ryan Giles, hopefully, going to be an incredible signing.
Yeah. I'll give you some insight here. I spoke to one of the teachers at my college. He's a Middlesbrough fan. I asked him, sir, what's Ryan Giles like? We're signing him. Oh, you're signing him? I saw he was going to a Championship club. Didn't know it was you. For $4.25 million or whatever your buy option is, it's a steal. He's got one of the best left foots I've ever seen. Pretty consistent. And some of the stuff he'd do with the football for a left back is stuff I haven't seen ever. So, yeah, by that, it'll be a brilliant signing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the only slight concern, not concern, but the only negative thing you could look at it is why are Luton potentially selling him so soon? But I think, you know, he's a relatively young player. They're happy with, is it Doherty? Left back,
yeah.
He's done well, and Giles will want to play a game, so he might get a bit of money for him. So, yeah, I think probably a good move for us. Not sure if it's a good move for Luton necessarily, especially if we're able to sign him and they do go down, then they've missed out on an opportunity to have one of the best left backs in the league. But yeah, and Ryan Giles, thumbs up.
Absolutely. Very exciting signing. I mean, if you get the version, obviously, that we saw last season and the season before, you know, there's question marks about how good he is defensively, but I don't think Rossini is looking for a defensively solid fullback, judging by the system we play. He wants a fullback that can push up, that can offer an attack, you know, extra support, put good delivery in. And like we've seen from his assist record, he's definitely got a good delivery on him, which is, you know, like I mentioned earlier, our Achilles heel this season has been our final ball has been horrid at times. So to have a fullback of Giles' standard that can put a decent delivery into the box, you know, it would make us a real threat. Because I feel like that's an extra string to the bow that we need to take us to that top six, you know, kind of standard. But yeah, I mean, realistically, I mean, all the different variations of the system we've played, I mean, you can even play him as a winger if needs be. So, you know, he's a bit... If it came to that point where Philogene gets injured again, or the other winger, if we bring in another winger, gets injured, or the Kilo goes, then we want to play him further up left, like we would have probably done Vinagre. It's just like, you know, he's a more dependable version of Vinagre that we've seen has been there, done that before, and a better injury record. So yeah, it makes sense all around. I mean, I think it's, what is it, $4 million to buy? Luton paid I think he's still Luton's record fee. So yeah.
5 million record for him in the summer, and we're going to get him for about $4.25 million, I think.
So to obviously sign a Premier League club's record fee player 6 months after they signed him, you know, is Championship level. It's definitely a good signing. So yeah, I'm excited to see him announced if he is, because I think it definitely transformed that back four and be a natural fullback that we've not had for a long time.
Mm. Certainly, and yeah, probably a similar type of player to what Vinagre was, but hopefully not injured. Of course, I mean, we'll sign him, he'll probably play really well and then get injured immediately, as happens with our best players. But yeah, Vinagre has gone off to Italy, to Hellas Verona, and that was announced on just yesterday, I think, or Friday.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about him enough. He was good when he played. Last two games that he has played, won us the match at Huddersfield and Middlesbrough with good assists late on. But yeah, we just didn't see that often enough. So hopefully Giles, you know, and if Vinagre's option to buy was something ridiculous like 15 million euros, 5 million for someone who's probably equally as good from that perspective, seems like a pretty sensible deal. You just talked about playing Giles further up, maybe at wing back. Andy Smith going on loan to Cheltenham, I think, is a good move for him. And I think the fact he's played so little for us means he should get a loan move. But again, just down to three centre backs, and with the injury issues we usually have, I feel like we have coped with three centre backs in the last three seasons, really, or four seasons. But it's just a tiny bit worrying. Is anyone else worried about that?
It's a risk. But Rosie's happy with Stan Ashby, so if he's willing to give Ashby a go, then so be it. I'm not going to say no to having Ian Ashby's son in the team, because Stan, when I've watched him for the 21s, looks all right.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, he sent one right-footed centre-back cover for Jones out on loan to get game time, because Smith's at the age now where he needs to be playing week in, week out at a competitive level. Whereas Ashby's obviously younger, and we've got Maka as a left-footed cover for Greavesy, and then he's just, I would assume, using Ashby as cover for Jones. I mean, the thing is, realistically, he could probably play Maka and Greavesy as two centre-backs as well. I don't get the whole, why would you play a left-footed on the right side kind of thing, because loads of teams play with two right-footers. It made no sense to me. They can do that. But I did think when we first sent him out on loan that he might be tempted to bring in a centre back, but I think it's unlikely. I think he'd just stick with Ashby and Maka as the backup.
And I think the main thing, as it's been for the last three or four transfer windows, four or five or six transfer windows, attacking players is the priority. I mean, what was the last centre back we actually signed? We had Figueiredo, he was awful.
Figueiredo, then Bernard before that, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we've only signed one permanent centre back since what? 2020?
In 2020, didn't we?
Device, probably. Device. I mean, Greaves came up for the academy, didn't he? Maka, we brought in. What year was Maka?
2019, we brought Maka.
That was summer. Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
Device. So
we've been pretty happy with those three.
Yeah,
because we signed Jonesy in League One, but he was actually a midfielder, and we've just converted him to centre back. So I don't know if there's a loophole there.
Well, yeah,
he's a centre back, isn't he? He's a centre back.
He's a number six naturally, though. Alfie Jones was, and at Southampton, at Gillingham, he played as that defensive midfielder, and we signed him to be that. And just because of injury, we played him as a centre back, and we've just kept him there ever since.
When we signed Jones as well, we had Burke, Device still had Taffazoli at that point, Greaves coming up, McLaughlin there. Taffazoli got moved on pretty quickly. I think it was the same day, but it shows the level, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy how the signings we made in League One were better than the signings we made in the Championship the year before, which we also signed from League One. Don't know how that works. But
the silver was all right until he spat his dummy out.
See, yeah, I really I'm not even sure he was.
He was a very tidy player. He just he went up for it, was he?
Went up for League One, was he? Didn't fancy it.
No. Well, before we get on to some of the exciting attacking signings we're getting in, I think it's going to be pretty much the same sort of thing we're going to say for all three of these players. Aliar, Jason Nikilo, and Dokan Sinic potentially going out on loan. Sort of wingers that came in with a bit of potential, haven't really shown it. In glimpses, had a lot of injury issues, been in and out of the team. They need to go play football somewhere else, and they're the deadwood. Is there any difference there? Let's rank them. Which one's the best out of those three? It's Aliar, isn't it?
Lekilo's the worst. And I say that having watched Sinic not be interested for the under-21s this year.
But then I'd say value for money, Sinic...
Value for money, Sinic's the worst.
Sinic might be the worst value for money we've ever had, ever?
Did we pay money for Jimmy Bullard?
We paid 5 million, but he did score goals in the Premier League. Didn't play as much as we wanted him, but that was a thing that happened. He was in the Premier League team and he scored a few goals. So I feel like that is some value for money in some way. Whereas
he only
Sinic,
cost a million more than Sinic.
Yeah, exactly. And the money, money now isn't as much as money back then. Or is
Bullard obviously was an outrageous clown, but like you say, at least we got some parts of the on pitch.
And then even players like Kingsley, Dicko, etc. did play for us for 3 years, and then they ran their contract out. So they were useful for 3 years. They weren't good, but they did play for several years.
Dicko was $3 million. He was a poor signing.
Yeah. All of those were pretty much up there.
Like $8 million for Kevin Stewart, but Robbo went the other way for 10.
Five. We signed him for $5 million and Liverpool got Robertson for $9 million. So they technically got Robbo like $4 million and gave us Stewart.
Yeah. But then again, he played football matches.
Yeah.
I
thought Kevin Stewart was all right.
He was okay.
You know, he's all right for like half a season and that was it.
Did we pay for Sagbo?
I used to love Sagbo, though, to be fair.
Sagbo won an FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, so that's no matter which way you slice it, scoring in a cup semi-final is value for money as a striker. Whereas Cynic, like, just no. Just nothing. Three
I think the bigger problem with Cynic is that he's obviously on a lot of wages as well. I feel like they gambled with him signing and spending so much money on him that he was going to come over here and just naturally be a really good player at championship level. And it's just really not worked. And I don't know whether that's something to do with the club and he's just not really settled there, or he just doesn't fancy it, or he has played and then thought, nah, this isn't for me, I want to go back, or he's homesick. We don't know. But for the amount of money that we've spent on him and are paying for him, it is outrageous that he's still at this football club and we need to get rid of him.
He's got to go permanently in the summer. He'll have a year left on his contract. Has he got an option? He's got an option of an extra year, but
they're not going to take that, are they?
Surely the only reason we take that if we do is so we can try and sell him on.
No, I don't think they would do it then. It's not worth the wages.
€1 million to Hayderspor, which is where he's going on loan for the end of the season, or Antalyaspor, where he's played his best football. Well, his only football, really. Just cut your losses and try and get some money.
It's a shame. It's a shame with Aliar, because I think there's, especially from what we've seen of him so far this season, where he's actually looked okay.
There's a player.
There is. But how long can we say that is the problem about him? Obviously, I mean, for me, it's if he wasn't, because I think he's probably on also quite a high whack of wages. And I think if he wasn't on such high wages, they'd probably have been more willing to give him more of a chance in the team. But considering we've not really seen the end product that we expected from him since signing, and he's got a poor injury record, they're probably thinking, I don't know if we can do this anymore. But he is a good player, and it's a shame, because I think if he'd have had a decent run, start of last season, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. And then whenever he seems to find form, he gets another long-term injury and we lose him. And then it takes him a while to get back up to that point. And it's just how long can you go sort of at that sort of rhythm where, you know, he's constantly in and out of the team and just saying, well, he might get good eventually. You know, you've just, similar to Cynic, you've just got to cut your losses, I suppose, about but it is a shame.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
There's a website that does player salaries and stuff. And for the academy players, it's relatively accurate. And it says Aliar's on like 20 odd grand a week. Cynic's on 17 or something like that. And that's not cheap.
It's not the kind of money you expect for them.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate those are, but it gives us an idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The only reason I say it's accurate for the academy players my age, relatively accurate.
I mean, the only way I understand player salaries is what the average is on FIFA, right? And I'm pretty sure the stat for the, I don't know whether it's the median or the mode or the mean, but the average Premier League salary is now about £80,000 a week. And on FIFA a years ago, it was more 30, 40. It was 40 for like a good solid Premier League player. I remember that. So it's probably doubled since then. So I've always had in my head that the top players at the club at the moment, like Seri and Tufan, are probably on 20, and that Cynic and Aliar and people probably on 10, 15.
I think realistically,
but I have nothing to base that on, really.
I think realistically at this level, I think between 10 to 20K is a top end championship player.
Definitely. I would think so.
I think you'd find most of the league are probably on about 10-ish. You know, your sides that have got decent players that the first team quality at most championship clubs will probably be on between 10 and 15. Well, and I think if you're looking at a guaranteed...
Sure, revealed five under the LMs for the last few years, it was £5,000. And I feel like if the average was like 30, then they would never have signed for us ever. Yeah. But I feel like, yeah, five lowest, 10 median, and then 20 is probably what your players like Tufan are, that sort of thing. Because I know the wages in Turkey will be bigger, but it isn't Premier League. The biggest wages are probably going to be more 30, 40, 50 there. But again, I don't really know. But more. So yeah, Ali are potentially the only one that you'd give a go if they play well over there in, is it Westerlo or Westerlo in Belgium? And then Lekilo, don't know where he's going. That's not been confirmed. I think we'd have to get the winger out and Lekilo out on deadline day. And then Cynic Hytospor, which is where Adama Traore used to play for. I don't know whether... I mean...
In pre-season as well, didn't we?
Yes, true. True. I don't know how many people realise this, probably a lot, but I'm going to keep mentioning it anyway. It's kind of surprising how a lot of people say that, oh, they're not happy about the signings because they're from the Turkish league and how many of them have worked out. A lot of them haven't, but a lot of the players we have signed who haven't come directly from Turkey have played there. Just today I was watching highlights from the Trabzonspor game, and Oscar Estepinian was scoring against them a few years ago. He was in Turkey, Seri was in Turkey, Traore was in Turkey, and some others I'm probably forgetting. But yeah, a lot of them have been in Turkey at some point in their career, which maybe is why they've signed for us. So, we're signing a striker on loan. I maybe have a bit of a controversial opinion on this, so I'm just going to let German Ant maybe be a bit more positive. Thoughts on Noah Ahayo on loan from Standard Liège?
I don't know now about him. He's young. He looks exciting from what I've seen. He looks like a player who's got clear ability. You know, a lot of his teams that he plays for say positive things. Obviously, there's question marks on his goal scoring record. If you sign a striker, ideally you want them to score goals, but then you could also counter that and say the lap scoring record wasn't brilliant before he came to us, and he's arguably one of our best attackers this season. So sometimes it takes the right manager, the right system, the right setting, something like that, just to get that sort of extra level in a player, and hopefully he gets that with us. But for me, you know, he's not scored a single league goal this season. So if you wanted to sign a striker to try and get you over the line to the top six, on paper, that doesn't seem like the kind of striker you want to be bringing in. But like I said in my tweet before, I think you've just got to trust in Rosinia. We've rarely got transfers wrong with him. So he's clearly seen something in this lad that he likes. Let's judge him based on what he does for us first, rather than what he's done for other teams.
To me, I think he's worth a go. He's been in Man United and Man City's academies as a kid. I saw someone say on Twitter that they played against him. A City fan said they played against him when he was in academy football. And if he's anything like he was then, he's going to be a decent player. It's only because Delap's injured and Connolly might not be back until the sort of middle of this month that we've looked at another striker. And like you say, Rossini's clearly seen something in him. YouTube highlights that people have spoken about on Twitter say he looks like a sort of Delap-esque striker. Is the standard of football he scored a few goals in the highest? Not really, but could he be a diamond in the rough? Potentially. I think he's worth a go because we've got nobody else. And if Rossini thinks he can get the best out of him, then I'll trust his judgment. Until
there's so many variables to it as well, though, isn't there? Because realistically, for these teams that he's played for, how many chances do they create for him?
And then
they might not create that many for him.
You said on Twitter last night, Nathaniel, that although his stats don't look great, it looks as though most of his appearances have come off the bench. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how much can we take from that? How long did he just get a few minutes at the end to kill some clock? Or did he get half an hour every game kind of thing? So, like you say, Ant, there are a lot of variables, and I'll judge how good he is or isn't when I've seen him play for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's very reasonable. My initial reaction was not overly positive. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean he's going to be a bad player, because obviously we need to see him play in the games that he's going to play. And, you know, I wasn't expecting anyone hugely brilliant, because it would be the fourth striker at the club and it's January and we wasn't planning on getting one until just a few days before this rumour came out. And, you know, it's very difficult to sign strikers at any point, to be honest, let alone in January when you hadn't been planning on one previously. However, yes, I mean, the fact he's not scored this season in the league, fine, because he's been coming off the bench for a top Belgium club, and Belgium's decent enough league, happily get some players from the Belgian league, you know, give him a go. But the thing is, it's just he's not the sort of player. I don't mean in terms of the style of play, because I've done the goal video, very quick, liked a lap. That makes sense. Replace a lap with another quick player. But the thing is just I imagined that we'd get someone not like Sharp necessarily, but just someone like Sharp who's played in England and maybe a bit older, just to tide us over for the next few games, rather than a young player who will have to accumulate to England, when really, in my head, this striker we're signing is like for five games, and then I'm happy with Connolly to start until Delap's back, because I think Connolly's pretty good at this level and knows how to play the system because he's been doing it for a year. Whereas Ahayo, that would be a good signing, but not the one I would have thought they'd make in the situation. That's like a start of the season to develop him sort of signing, rather than we do need an impact now, because he'd be the only one fit other than Sharp, who, bless him, you know, can't run. So that was my initial reaction. But if he's going to be the similar sort of type of player to Delap, give him a go. And with the three players behind him, Philogene, Carvalho, maybe Tufan, Traore, another winger, his job isn't just going to be scoring goals, because we have other players to do that. So let's give him a go.
I mean, look at it this way. Realistically, it's like we're building up decent squad depth for that position. So Delap's going to be out for 2 to 3 months, right? So we're not going to see him for a while. But if we get to a point where we're in the running, or we finish in the playoffs, we've got Delap back for that. But then you've got Delap, you've got Connolly, you've got Billy Sharp, and you've got Ahayo as four strikers to choose from. So now if suspension, injury, because we know Connolly's made of glass, we couldn't realistically just have Billy Sharp in this time period between now and obviously when Delap comes back. So realistically, we needed to have another option just to throw in there. Like we said, I don't think he's going to come here and start every single game. I don't think that's what he's been brought in for. He's been brought in to sort of plug a hole temporarily. And then if he turns out well, he turns out well. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But we just needed another striker, because we can't have a 37-year-old Billy Sharp playing two games a week.
Yeah, I mean, you can win a game 1-0 if our defence improves. You can have Ahayo run for an hour, tire out the defenders with his pace, which he clearly has. Some of his goals have basically just been sprinting past every player on the pitch with a 1-on-1. And then Sharp can win the game with the last half an hour against some tired defenders. That would work. So, yeah, exactly. You don't have to just score goals as a striker. There are other parts to the game.
And this is a good comment from Neil as well, to be fair, because obviously Rosinia does seem to get the best out of players when people tend to write them off. I mean, we've seen it a few times now, so hopefully he's just another example.
Yeah.
To mention Connolly, I mean, Joe, you said that you're going to have some contract information available.
Yeah, I've got a massive spreadsheet, really, because I'm a bit of a squad number nerd and contract nerd. No. I've got sort of every single player at the football club when their deals are up. And then Connolly, obviously the elephant in the room when we signed him was 1 year deal, no option to take him for an extra year. I think we'll end up signing him. I think we'll end up keeping him for longer because I think he's proved that he's good for him. Clearly likes it here. He clearly gets on with Rossinha. Rossinha clearly gets the best out of him. So why should we not keep him on? And then to bring it back around to Ohio, Nathaniel, my initial reaction was a bit like you, going like, who is it? I went straight to Google to find out a bit about him. I'm willing to give him a go.
Wasn't it reported that we'd offered Connolly a deal? I'm sure it was mentioned about a month or so ago.
I think it must be close last month.
I think it was mentioned a bit ago that we're talking about it, but then Christmas, New Year, all that kind of thing gets in the way, doesn't it?
They've probably sort of taken it back off the table now. He keeps getting injured. We'll talk about it in summer.
I don't really think so. I think it's just sort of January transfer window, and there your priorities are strengthening immediately, aren't they? And not looking at the summer.
Mm-hmm. But I think that compared to other players who keep getting injured, when Connolly's fit, he actually plays well and scores goals. And with the way we play, considering that if Oscar's going to be leaving, we don't actually have any contracted strikers for next season.
I was literally about to say that. I was like, we probably should be thinking about some of them because at the minute, we will have a team. I mean, especially in the striking role. Bisharp's on a temporary deal to the end of the season. Connolly's expires in summer. Delap's on loan, so he goes back in summer. Ahaya's on loan, so he goes back in summer. Oscar is on loan. I think he's obviously
got another year. And
Oscar's
year
on his contract. So
Estupiñán would be our only striker next season, as things stand.
Yeah. I mean, Connolly injury record quickly. I was talking to one of the academy lads about this because he's had a bit of a tough few years with injuries. He's one of the new arrivals and he spent a lot of time out injured last year on an impact injury, and then this year he's had an ankle problem, contact injury in training, and then in the run-up to the FA Cup game against Birmingham he was training with the first team and had the same ankle contact injury again. So when you look at his career, it looks as though his injury record's terrible, but it's not. It's just like it's just impact injuries and a bit unlucky, and that's what Connolly's toe was last year, and that's what his shoulder and his concussion have been this season. And it's
it
just
doesn't help when Angus Gunn decides to launch into you, does it?
Yeah, and that there's no way he's out injured now if he doesn't get launched into by Angus Gunn.
Yeah,
unless something happens later in the game where he pulls something or whatever. But a lot of Connolly's injuries, the broken toe last year, the persistent toe problems through this season, they are mostly impact injuries. So to me, I don't think it's in his injury record that bad, really. I think it's just he struggled to get over the impact.
And scores per minute are really good. Top five in the league or something. And I think some of the ones above that is just Smodics, who's the top goal scorer. And then a few players like Tom Eaves who haven't played enough for that stat to actually mean anything or scored enough, really. Rose Connolly played a good amount and scored. So, yeah, I think as a second-choice striker next season, possibly, I'd be delighted to have Connolly for another year. I think he has certainly been the best example of that for senior-style player where we sign him and he's not done well elsewhere, but he's done well here. So very much like Aaron Connolly. And then I don't know whether I want to leave this till the very end. So the other thing is that we're trying to sign a winger, one on a permanent who would be straight into the starting 11, apparently. And then if we don't get him, apparently another one on loan. You might have just mentioned that, Joe, earlier in the episode. No idea who the winger is, but I think we do need one with three wingers going out especially on loan as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially if they're letting Lukilo go. My first guess was Benson, but it seems like he's obviously off to Southampton. So, and I don't think we'd be able to afford Benson, both fee and wages. And then I thought Rakitić, but I don't think we'd get him permanently either. So I think he might be the one we've tried to go in for loan, although it does look like he's off to Birmingham. So it seems the ones that I kind of want to get at, they've been mentioned before as well, tend to get ruled out. But like we say, the really important signings, they tend to keep really quiet up until the absolute crunch moment where it seems all done and dusted, so they feel safe enough to say it. But yeah, I mean, we definitely need a winger, if not two. Just for the fact that
Morgan Whittaker.
Well, we won't be
able to afford it.
Do you know one player who I was thinking about, you know, and I was watching the QPR Huddersfield game earlier, and he's not been as good as he was in that one season he had for Huddersfield, but Sauber Thomas, I think you'd be able to get relatively cheap from Huddersfield. He wouldn't have to move really because he's only in West Yorkshire, and he's got really good set piece delivery and crossing. So you'd have Giles on one side and Sauber Thomas on the other, and then a really good set piece taker. I feel like Sauber Thomas would be a good addition, but he's just not consistent enough, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, there's been a few names mentioned about, but I'm only guessing. I mean,
can do a hell of a lot worse than Sauber Thomas, but do we want to be aiming higher than him? Probably.
It probably depends on the amount of money they're willing to spend on somebody. I mean, if we're signing someone permanently and they're good enough to go straight in the first 11, you'd imagine they're spending quite a bit. I don't know. It's anyone's guessing it. Because I thought Omer would be going to be the winger, but sounds like it's not him.
Mm,
yeah. So apparently it looks like we're spending 4 million on him to be on the bench.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. Well, we've mentioned it there. Let's talk about my most exciting transfer, I'd say. I just like the idea. I imagined we were going to be doing this and we haven't really. I think, I mean, someone mentioned it's because we're in the Championship. Otherwise, we would have done it a lot more. If we're in the Premier League, I'm sure we're getting the Turkish national team. But I imagined that we'd be doing what Wolves did and just sign every Portuguese player possible. But that hasn't really happened. Although, again, I'm sure it would if we got promoted. Abdul Kadir Umur.
Yeah.
Facebook forum is going to struggle to spell that. But Omer is reasonable, so let's just call him that. Now, when this was first rumoured, because I think it's been rumoured 2 or 3 times before, just like Mia Zajec from Fenerbahce is rumoured every transfer window, because, you know, they play in Turkey. I thought, well, that's nonsense. That's just paper talk. We're not looking for number 10. We're not looking to spend lots of money in January. We're not looking to sign another player from Turkey because we haven't done that. But then it was announced that he was desperate to come here. And then even after that, Agin has confirmed, apparently, that we've agreed a £4 million pound, €6 million fee. I feel like that's option or obligation to buy in the summer, and it'd be initial loan, but I don't know.
We'll see.
It's a bit up in the air. We'll see. So just give a little bit of background, because I know you've said you don't know anything about him. He can play on the wing, maybe as the preferred number 10, but he's just one of those, like Toufan. Yeah. And you'll know Ant, because you were expecting to play number 8 and then this sort of stuck you false 9.
Yeah, yeah.
My idea is that Toufan... Toufan was a number 8 for Turkey. He didn't, and in for Fenerbahce. But coming here to the Championship, we realised, oh, he's so good, we have to stick him further to the goal. And so he's actually scored more goals playing in England than he ever did in Turkey. Whereas I think Umur, maybe he's a number 10, but I think, again, because he would be so good, based on Transfermarkt, Toufan's the 40th best Turkey player, Umur's the 19th. I think I saw, so should be better than Toufan. That basically, yeah, if we play him on the wing, he's going to be happy there and he should be able to do well in the Championship. But
I think he's actually played more games on the wing than he has anywhere else. So yeah, maybe he's a winger.
Yeah, tricky player, quite short, scores good goals, doesn't score a lot of goals. This season, he's played a lot until the last few games where him and Bozok, the striker, have been sort of rejected and kicked out the first team and the training by themselves Don't know why. Translation might be off. It might just be that they're happy
probably
to sell
he
them.
Said he wants to come here.
Yeah, exactly. A few years ago, 2019, he was linked to Man City and Liverpool for about £20-30 million.
Yeah.
Stayed. Pivotal attacking player, scored 7 goals in their first league win in 38 years back in 2022. Scored in the Turkish Cup final in 2020, which they won. So he's a top attacking player for a top Turkish team. Surely that's a good signing.
He's completed Turkey. He's won the Turkish League, won the Turkish Cup, won the Turkish Super Cup. But I did a bit of an essay on Instagram stories yesterday, and I'm going to rehash that essay here. Not quite.
It's the best place to put your message out, isn't it? Instagram stories. That's the best place for long form written entertainment.
Always. Not quite sure how I feel about this one. The £4 million could probably be better spent elsewhere, and the signings we've made from the Super League last summer haven't really worked, apart from Tufan. However, this lad is more established than the likes of Sinic and Tete were, and was a target for Man City not too long ago. To play devil's advocate, however, Pelkas was established, and he didn't turn out to be anything particularly special. The jury's out. Let's see how he gets on.
Yes, that's a sensible answer, but I'm not willing to be sensible. I'm willing to say Irma God and, you know, talk about him incessantly.
Just to play a devil's advocate then and trying to be the flip side to Joe's more positive coin there, then let's say £4 million obligations to buy in summer if that's the way that the transfer works out. That's already, within two players, that's £8 million spent on Ryan Giles and Irma. And realistically, in this current 11 now, if we are signing a winger who's going to go straight into the first 11, why are we spending £4 million on a player that's not going to start? Or if so, if he is going to start, who are we dropping for him?
Or are we just signing him in preparation for Carvalho not being with us next season and maybe not renewing Traore's contract? Just another point to chuck into the atmosphere.
Valid counter. Valid counter.
I'd say so.
Not necessarily a counter, just another point to consider.
Yeah. Well, these are the things that people are going to ask. So it was good job that you were ready with an answer, I suppose.
Well, I'm so forgetful. Did I say that we were going to spend £2 million on Keenan Davis in the summer? I said that on the pod. Well, again, that's not how it works, but you could say, well, that's only £2 million because we were happy to spend £2 million, you know, in terms of financial fair play. But very similar to the Davis one, at that point with Colony and Delap, I didn't think we would need to sign a third striker. Turns out we probably should have, but oh well. I think it's people are saying, oh, we need to spend the money on a striker. I mean, if you spent £4 million on a striker, they wouldn't be anywhere near as good as Irma as a winger, because striker money is just insane. I mean, who could you get for £4 million in the Championship as a proper player, as a striker? Get Tom Eaves, I think. Maybe someone slightly better than Tom Eaves. Yeah. You get Will Keane. Maybe you'd get Will Keane or someone who's a good player. But
maybe a little bit more, I think.
Maybe. Two Will Keanes. Two Keenan Davises. I think it's an opportunistic one. I think that they've seen, oh, look, we can get Ermer. And hopefully, you know, I think £4 million on him, you could hopefully send him if he played well for more. If it's an option to buy in the summer, I think that's a better deal than obligation. I think he is higher rated than Pelkas and Tete and Sinic were.
I hope that this is a Liam Rosinia sanctioned transfer.
Yes, absolutely.
I think they're beyond that, surely.
I think it will be, surely.
You'd like to think so. Just obviously, he might not be fully out of that. Well, I want one of my Turkish superstars phase yet. And that's the worry. But I don't think Rosinia would have accepted the job if he was told that every now and again, Adjan's going to bring one of his Turkish Ultimate Team players across.
Yeah, so pretty much.
He got Borna in the top, didn't he?
True. That's it. But that's not worked out. I mean, it's not worked out. I mean, it's it's not enough to fulfill Ajin's, you know, craving for random Turkish attacking player because it's not played. Let's see, that's the thing. The front four, I think Rossini is not so stupid to have five attacking players. Who are the front four going to be with all these players coming in? I mean, it would be easier to do this once we know who the winger is, but...
Are we assuming that the three rumoured, i.e. Giles Ahayo and Omar, are signing?
Yeah, yes. Let's assume that.
So I would imagine that it's going to be Ahayo as leading the line, and then you'll have Philogene, Cavallio, and... I don't know.
There you go.
It'd be harsh to drop two fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And he did play wide.
You don't want to sit on the bench, do you?
I mean, it's we're saying this, but it's also a good thing that we've got so many good attacking players to rotate. For me, you can't play you can't put Tufan anywhere in that team, barring that second striker role for me. That's the only place I think that you get an 8 or a 9 out of 10 from him. I mean, you play him deeper, you lose a lot of what he offers in attacking, and he's not great defensively, let's be honest. Cavallio, I feel like you'd lose a lot of his influence if you played him on the wing.
Yeah.
Even though he has said that he can, I think it's we don't want to be in another position where we're playing square pegs in round holes and midfielders out on the wing. And I just feel like even with this new winger coming in, we're going to end up doing that. Feel like it's inevitable. I mean, even when Adama Traore comes back, you can 100% guarantee that he's going to be used as a rotation option for the winger.
Well, yeah, of course he is.
So
that's the reason why Twain left.
We've just got no wingers, and we're bringing in one that's apparently going to start, and then another number 10, and another number 10. And it's just like, I don't get what's going on, man. Unless Cavallo has been said that he's happy playing out wide and wants to, I don't know. It's just it's a bit bizarre for me, but
mm-hmm. to see. Okay. I think, what am I going to call this section? Implied grammar for football tactical reasons segment with Nathaniel. That's a rubbish name.
But have the ball.
Okay. So, I think...
And that's chat.
I'm just thinking about the book that I've got here. I'm always thinking about this book, How to Watch Football by Tifo. Tifo, you know, plug for them, incredible.
This is why we didn't win an award this year.
Yeah, because I read that book.
Our content's gone down the drain.
On the Tifo IRL podcast, they did at one point say that, you know, really, football tactics should be as simple as getting your best 11 players on the pitch, right? So long as you're not playing 10 defenders or 10 attackers, the idea is to get good players onto the pitch, right? That you have to do that at some level. And my idea is that Ömür, as a Turkish national and one of the top attacking players at one of the top Turkish clubs, which is a good league, you can get into the Champions League from there, he should play. Cavallo, who was one of the best attacking players and signed permanently and played games for Liverpool, has to play. Philogene is Jadon Philogene. He has to play. Ahayo, Connolly, Sharp, not that level. And if we're signing a winger who will apparently start, he will apparently start. And then Tufan is our second top goal scorer.
So what you're saying is Tufan...
The grammar thing... The grammar thing is that in the Humberside Sport interview with Rossini last week before the Sunderland game, one of them, the interviewer asked Rossini how's the search for a striker going, you know, because you need some new players in. How's the search for a striker in? And immediately, like, if it was a little pause, but Rossini immediately said, oh, well, Philogene's coming back for Millwall. Just stick him up front. Problem solved. Because the idea is that, like, false nines never worked, but Philogene, it wouldn't be a false nine because he's a quick player. Get him in behind as per Connolly.
No.
Interesting. I've not thought about that.
I'm getting an interesting and I'm getting a no. Okay, okay.
No, absolutely not. For me, the wingers, he is a natural winger. And when you try and play natural wingers as a number nine or getting in behind through the middle, they lose every ounce of what makes them technically a good player, because then they have to change and play with their game with the back to goal, or try and play it in a new dimension to what they're not used to. What makes Philogene good is he gets the ball and he can either, he's one-on-one with a fullback, right? So he can either go outside or inside with him, which he does very well, and he can create chances or cut into the box and try and shoot. If he plays through the middle, as we saw with Bowen a lot, when McCann used to try and play Bowen through the middle, it's an entirely different game to play through the middle than it is as a fullback. You've now got two centre halves on your back. You've got a couple of midfielders limiting your space. It's not for a winger. I think there are players that can do winger and striker, but they're ones who have throughout their career probably diverted between the two and know what it takes to play in that role. Philogene to me doesn't seem like the kind of player who would do very well through the middle, so I wouldn't like to see that. But
okay,
if we were to try Toufan and Cavalier up front as the two strikers rotating, which Toufan did very well towards the end of last season, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I would prefer that to Philogene.
Yeah, fair enough. Reasonable. I think you want him on the pitch, don't you? You want Toufan on the pitch, because with those four players, he's been here the longest. The idea should be that he is most, you know, and yeah, as I said, he was playing sort of centre mid for Fenerbahce. Get him as far away from our goal as possible, put him up front. Yeah.
Yeah. When Ozan's on the pitch, when Ozan's in form, he usually does well.
And he's another player who can win it in a moment.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, after injuries, it might take him a bit longer to get going. But if he needs a bit longer after an injury to get going, then, you know, so be it. Put him in the 21s, get him some minutes to get him back up to that level. Because, like you say, Ant, he's one of the players who, you know, he's one of the reliable ones to step up for a penalty, first of all. Not missed one since he's been here. And, you know, he's a great, great technical player. And if he's fit, if he's in form, he should be on the pitch, no doubt.
I think that as well, you got to look at it, like when I said earlier about Cavalier is one of those players who can win you a game just by himself. Philogene is the kind of player who can win a game by himself. You want as many of those players on the pitch as possible. So if you have Toufan, Cavalier and Philogene on the pitch, you've got three players there that in one moment across the 90 minutes could score from the edge of the box, could produce a little bit of magic, take on two or three players, start in the far corner. You've got three players there that can win you the game. It's how we set up, obviously, Ronny Rosinha knows. But for me, at the minute, especially with the fact that Delap's out, Toufan needs to be on the pitch, Cavalier needs to be on the pitch, and Philogene needs to be on the pitch. So I think realistically, until we've signed said winger, I think it's going to be Cavalier outright. But we'll have to wait and see.
It just depends who that is, because we don't know who it's going to be.
Looking ahead just quickly, tomorrow, Seri in the round of 16 against Senegal. Do we think...
Oh, please lose.
Do we think if he gets knocked out, he'll be back in time for Millwall?
Well, he'll be back here, but he might not be involved, but he'll be back for Swansea. And at least that's one more game.
Yeah.
I mean, am I in the minority of City fans that actually want Ivory Coast to do
well? I want him to do well for his country, yes. But equally, they're not in the sort of form that suggests to me they'll beat Senegal.
The silver lining of Ivory Coast not doing very well is that we would get Seri back sooner than we expected. But for me, like, as fans, and he's a player, surely you want to see him lift the trophy.
Marley can
fans
win.
Praying for Ivory Coast to lose. I'm not a fan of him.
I'd be delighted if Marley won the Africa Cup of Nations. How about that? That's an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, Traore.
Over the moon.
You should want them both to do it. Both in the final. Both in the
Ivory Coast, no. No. Look, I like Adama Traore. I think he's a good player. But just I want Marley to do really well.
You should want Ivory Coast to do well, but in case they don't, the positive is we get him back. But you should want them to do well.
I was devastated when they
imagine him looking on. Imagine being Seri, right? So put yourself in Seri's boots. You're scrolling down Twitter, thinking, "Oh, what's happening? What's happening with Hull City?" And then seeing every single fan going, "Oh, I hope Ivory Coast get absolutely battered! Ha ha! Ivory Coast are doing shocking." Imagine how he feels. Like, he's not getting no support from us as a fan base, is he? Let's be honest. So if you are by any stretch of the imagination listening to this, Seri, I hope you win the tournament. And if you don't, the positive is we get to welcome you back sooner.
If you win it, oh well.
If Ivory Coast don't play Seri after losing 4-0 to Equatorial Guinea, they deserve to go out. Because if he's not even being played after, you know, the most humiliating result in their history, probably, then what's the point? He might as well pack his bags.
Traore's not playing either.
He was like off the bench once, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think so. Yeah, he didn't score.
Well, good luck.
I've just got a very intimidatingly loud battery low message on my Bluetooth headphones, so I think we better wrap this up.
Well, you're the host.
I am the host. I'm okay doing outros, so long as I get you to click the button. Can you click the button for me, Ant?
Do you want me to click the button? Are you going to say bye to everyone first?
Okay, well, I'll say goodbye. But I don't know whether we're going to be doing another stream at like 12 o'clock on Wednesday. Probably not. But I'll certainly be tweeting. And thanks for everyone who's commented. Neil Ruiz has been prolific in the comments today, so thanks for that. And we'll be back next week after, hopefully, 4 superb championship quality signings. So, and thank you, Joe, and as well. All right, click the button now. Let's go.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.